Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Send it in. Presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. I'm going to be off tomorrow, back on Friday. So we'll dive into a bunch of NFL today. We'll look at more of the games on the Week 4 slate. Also getting to plenty of college football. Johnny Cogdon standing by. Give his thoughts on Bama and Georgia. Top 5 showdown in Tuscaloosa coming up on Saturday. We also got Lucy Burge joining us later on in the show for Model Making Money. Dive into some baseball. Also, we got 5 games left in the MLB regular season. We'll start looking at some futures as we head in to October baseball, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, thoughts, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. You can go into the twitch.tv/BetQL chat. Let us know anything that's on your mind there, or you can go to YouTube, search Odyssey Sports, and write in your questions there. And if you miss any part of the show, we got you covered over the next 30 minutes. Send it in podcast, available wherever you guys get your podcast. Make sure you check that out at the end of the show. Let's get this thing rolling. Glasses in session. Let's go to the Glasser guest line. We check in with Johnny Cogdon, who joins us. Give him a follow on X at Cogdon Nation, sports reporter for ABC 3340 News in Birmingham. Johnny, you and I both went to school at Alabama. We've seen plenty of big games at Bryant-Denny Stadium. This one feels a little bit different, though. As we start to get closer and closer to kickoff, like, where do you think this game ranks in terms of anticipation, games that you've covered between what we're going to see on Saturday?
Yeah, PJ, I don't mean to throw a wet blanket over this one, but the only reason why this one doesn't have the same buzz and feel as some of the other ones is now because of the expanded college football playoff. For a handful of years, forever, it felt like if you lost a game like this, your chances of you potentially making the Final Four, even back in the day in the BCS, they were down the toilet. But now, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a three-loss playoff team in the field of 12 this year. So again, Alabama, Georgia, you don't need a college football playoff for this game to mean something, rather it be recruiting, rather it mean bragging rights, just obviously the border war here between Alabama and Georgia, starting at the high school level and building up. But as far as ramifications, I just think because of the new format, it just doesn't hold as much weight as some other games did. Like week 2 last year, Alabama loses to Texas. Week 2, and people were burying them. They ended up squeaking into the playoff by the slimmest of margins. But a lot of people, especially in the South, are conditioned to think you lose a big game like this, the chances of you winning a national title are kaput. So that's the only reason why I want to temper some expectations. Whoever loses this game Saturday night, if they go on to win the national championship, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Great point, too, about the expanded playoff. Looking at these two teams, Johnny, let's start with Bama. Ryan Williams has been as advertised, the 17-year-old wide receiver who should be in high school right now. He's been awesome for the Tide early on in the season. Outside of him, because he's clearly the number one option for Milroe, who else do you think needs to step up in this game for Bama, skill position-wise, whether it be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end?
Now, let's go back to the receivers, and there's a dynamic speedster by the name of Kendrick Law that most people that are casual college football fans don't even know his name. He is one of the fastest receivers in the country, and he's got one reception this year. One reception came in a touchdown and the victory over Western Kentucky, but he's a guy all offseason who the coaches, especially this new staff, glowed about. He was in the facility at 4 or 5 in the morning. He was organizing workouts with his teammates. He was throwing with Jalen Milroe. He was throwing with Ty Simpson. And so far, he just hasn't gotten the looks. However, if he gets the football, he's just as fast as Ryan Williams. He's just as explosive. So there's other guys, of course, like Colby Prentice that are more security blankets. But as far as an X factor who's going to really need to step up, especially if Georgia tries to take Ryan Williams out of the game, Kendrick Law is a guy that I think might go under the radar. And if he has 4 or 5 catches, he could easily go over 100 yards. And I honestly think that that's a guy that Alabama is going to have to try to scheme open, because once you get the ball in his hands, I think he's exceptionally dangerous after the play. Pound for pound, PJ, he might be the fastest football player on this team.
And then, Johnny, look, whenever you would talk Bama or Georgia in the past, it would always be Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, two of the best defensive minds in college football. Now with Saban retiring, obviously, I'm excited to see what Kane Womack does, what his game plan is going up against Carson Beck and this Georgia offense. What do you expect to see out of Bama's defense on Saturday?
Well, again, PJ, a lot of the secondary for Alabama are rather true freshmen or transfers. And there was a lot of talk when Keon Saab transferred from Michigan and Damani Jackson transferred from USC. And everyone was high because these were names out of big-time programs. And I said all offseason, some caution here. These guys transferred for a reason. If Saab was this great transfer or was this great safety at Michigan, why is he transferring off a national championship winning defense? But so far, so good. Saab had 2 picks in the opening game against Western Kentucky. Damani Jackson's been fantastic. So as far as the transfers in the back end, they've been good. A guy like Xavier Brown, a 5-star corner who's been thrust into a starting position, has been phenomenal for Alabama so far this year. But they really haven't been tested. Western Kentucky, South Florida. I would have said on the road at Wisconsin would have been a tougher spot. But of course, Tyler Van Dyke goes down on the first possession. They throw in a young kid at quarterback. So I honestly think that Carson Beck in this Georgia offense is going to be their first real test. My only wonder for Georgia is, do they have the weapons like they've had in past years? There's no Ladd McConkey anymore. There's no Brock Bowers running up the seam anymore. So I think in Alabama's secondary, they're going to really have to make sure to play those two high safeties that's become so evident in the NFL, where you're not going to give up the big play and you're going to make them beat you underneath. Because if you remember that Kentucky game just 2 weeks ago, it was 2 weeks ago now for Georgia, their offense looked woefully unimpressive. And that's not to say that Carson Beck couldn't flip a switch and be as capable as we know he is. As far as the secondary for Alabama, though, I'm going to expect, try to limit the big plays, try to win the battles inside the 20-yard line. So I think Kane Womack, especially becoming the defensive coordinator after being the head football coach at South Alabama for a handful of years, I think he's done a fantastic job so quickly. But PJ, as you know so well, it doesn't take this fan base long to reject their coordinators. And if you don't show up well on one big Saturday night, you can go from hero to absolutely zero in the course of 60 minutes. Ask Pete Golden or Bill O'Brien how that felt.
No question. We're talking with Johnny Cogdon here on Send It In. Johnny, with big matchups like this, obviously everybody will talk about the spread. They'll talk about the total. I like looking big picture, though, and how the winner of this game, how it kind of impacts the futures market, right? Jalen Milroe right now, one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman Trophy at plus 700. If they win this game and he plays well, he's probably going to be the betting favorite when it's all said and done. And then Bama right now, plus 450 to win the SEC. I mean, if they win this game, have the tiebreaker over Georgia, good chance that they're going to wind up in Atlanta. Which bet do you think would be better? If people out there like Bama to win the game, would you take a shot at Milroe to win the Heisman or Bama to win the SEC?
I'm going to go with Milroe to win the Heisman. And the only reason why is because I think at the top of the market now, it's cluttered. I think Quinn Ewers was a I'm not the biggest betting guy in the world, but I think Ewers was towards the top of that Heisman list just a few weeks ago before he goes out. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the futures markets, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing Arch Manning, sixth, seventh best odds to win the Heisman Trophy. I can't see a world where it's going to be a receiver this year, and I can't see a world where it's going to be a running back this year. So it's going to be a quarterback. And you know every single sports fan in the country is going to be watching this game Saturday night. And if Milroe can invoke a performance like he had against LSU last November where he rushed for four touchdowns, I think obviously his stock is going to skyrocket. My only question with Alabama and only question with the quarterback is, can he sit back in the pocket when there's a spy on, when they try to contain the edge and he can't make plays outside the pocket or more demonstrated runs? Because I think when he's a deliberate runner, he's as dynamic as any player in the country. When he has to sit back in the pocket and he has too much time to think, I think that's what leads to issues, as you saw in performances against Texas last year. So like a fine wine, Jalen Milroe feels like he gets better as the season goes along. But I think if you're a defensive coordinator at Georgia, Mr. Shulman there, go look at the game plan that Harbaugh and the defense last year had up at Michigan. I think they did a fantastic job of trying to limit him, gaining ahead of speed at the line of scrimmage before he gets into the second level. And I think Georgia's going to try to replicate that Michigan game plan Saturday night in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, you can see those Heisman odds right there on your screen. Cam Ward, quarterback from Miami, is your favorite, followed by Jackson Dart and then Jalen Milroe right there at plus 700. Johnny, about a minute left. Give me your prediction for the game. Who do you like to win it on Saturday? And also, what kind of game do you think this is? Because I found an interesting nugget that the six meetings between Saban and Kirby Smart, all six of those games went over 49 points. The total is sitting at 48.5. Do you think we get a lower scoring game in the 20s, more so of a higher scoring game, and who do you like to win in about 60 seconds?
I do, PJ. That Georgia defense, man, they haven't given up a touchdown the entire season. And I know teams like Kentucky aren't necessarily offensive juggernauts, but I think those stats exist for a reason. I think they've given up only two plays greater than 20-plus yards on the entire season. And Alabama, again, as talented as they are all around the football, I wouldn't say this is by any means a finished product offensively. I still think they're working through some things. And as far as throwing the football, Jalen Milroe throws the go route probably better, or if as good as any quarterback in the country. But trying to pick apart teams throughout football games, I honestly don't know if that's his skill set. And I don't think Georgia's going to allow the deep shots, kind of how Auburn was in that Iron Bowl game a year ago. They let Burton beat him over the top, but they did a pretty good job staying disciplined. So I think the rap sheet on Milroe is try to make him beat you underneath, and eventually he's going to make a mistake through the air. I think if you're Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, I can't believe we've done this interview, we haven't even mentioned Kalen DeBoer's first crack at Georgia. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. However, I don't know if Alabama's going to have the horses in this one, even at home. I think Georgia's got the revenge factor at mind. They have the better quarterback, and I think they're going to have the defense that's going to be able to keep Alabama under the total. So I'll take Georgia getting the 2.5, and I'm also going to take the under at 48.5. But also keep in mind, I'm the worst gambler in the entire world, so I wouldn't take anything I say, and I wouldn't put stock in anything I just told you.
Love it. So Roll Tide in the over. That's what we're rocking with on Saturday. He's Johnny Cogden. Give him a follow on X at Cogden Nation, sports reporter for ABC 3440 News in Birmingham. Johnny, always great seeing you, my friend. Enjoy the game Saturday. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, PJ. Good luck to your O's.
Appreciate you, man. Yes, sir. Hopefully the O's can have a good October. We're going to talk some baseball coming up a little bit later on in the show, but we'll stick with college football. And every Wednesday, we love to do this. The over that I like the best, under, my favorite underdog and outright winner in college football on the upcoming slate. We will start with the over that I like the best this week in college football. It's going to be the over 60.5 between Wake Forest and Louisiana. Louisiana was one of my favorite bets against Tulane last week. I watched that entire game, and Tulane really controlled the ground game against Louisiana. Raging Cajuns had no answer for Tulane's rushing attack. Wake Forest, if you ever watch him play, they run this slow mesh, right? It's kind of like a zone read, but it's very deliberate and it's very delayed, and I think they're going to control the line of scrimmage in this game. I think they're going to put up some points. As you can see on the screen, though, Louisiana is only a 3-point underdog to Wake Forest, so I think Wake's going to put up some points. I think Louisiana is going to be able to put up some points as well. Wake Forest is one of the worst secondaries in Power 4 in college football. We'll take the over 60.5 between Wake and Louisiana. The under that I like the best is going to be in UNLV and Fresno State. I'm sure by now, if you're listening to the show today, You've heard the news about Matt Sluka, the UNLV quarterback, has decided to quit the team because he wasn't getting the NIL money that he thought he was going to get, according to him. So now it's just a chaos scenario for UNLV. No more Sluka, who's led them to an undefeated season so far. They have a chance to make the college football playoff as the Group of Five team. So the spread has come down from UNLV to being favored by 3 to now them being a 1-point underdog. And then also the total has dropped from 52.5 to 48.5. UNLV's coach Barry Odom is a defensive guy, and they got a pretty good defense. Because of this Sluka news, and because I think UNLV is kind of rushing to create their offensive game plan now, I think this is going to be a lower-scoring defensive game. Barry Odom leans on what he knows best, and that's defense. So we'll take the under 48.5 in UNLV and Fresno State. The favorite that I like the best this week is going to be Penn State -17.5 against Illinois. Top 20 matchup. Illinois just upset Nebraska, getting a whole bunch of points against Penn State. These are the kind of games, though, where the Nittany Lions roll, right? You don't want to bet them against Ohio State. You don't want to bet them against Michigan. You don't want to bet them against top-tier teams. But these kind of teams, like the Illinois, the Nebraskas, the Minnesotas, the Wisconsins, these are the kind of games where Penn State absolutely rolls. It's going to be a night environment there at Beaver Stadium. It's going to be rocking. Illinois team total under, I think, is a great bet in this game as well. I talked about this one yesterday. This game feels like it's 30-3 or something like that. I'll lay the 17.5 with Penn State. The dog that I like the best this week is going to be North Carolina +2.5 against Duke. UNC just gave up 70 points to James Madison. However, I think JMU's offense is better than Duke in a rivalry game. Obviously, Carolina and Duke, I think the Tar Heels get up for this one. Gonna make amends for kind of what they did last week on defense. I think they play hard for Mack Brown. Duke's undefeated this year, but they are a big-time fraud. Like, they squeaked out a win against Northwestern, squeaked out a win against UConn, got extremely fortunate last week against Middle Tennessee. They were on the road in that game, and Middle Tennessee fumbled 3 times in the first quarter. Duke's just getting the fortunate luck in the bounces right now, but with the fact that they're 4-0, UNC just gave up 70 to JMU, and yet this game is only 2.5. I'll take the Heels plus the points. And then the outright winner that I like the best this week, oof, it's a stinky one. Auburn +105 against Oklahoma. Both of these teams are very much the same. Both are good on defense. Both have no idea who their quarterback is, and both coaches are searching for answers very quickly. Auburn last week against Arkansas threw 3 interceptions early on in the game. Their quarterback, who they started, Hunter Brown, didn't know what he was doing. So they make a change to go back to Peyton Thorne. I expect him to be the quarterback this weekend. I like Auburn at home. Keep in mind, Oklahoma in that game against Tennessee also made a quarterback change, going from Jackson Arnold to Michael Hawkins Jr. He's going to be making his first career start, which is going to be on the road in one of the tougher environments to play in the SEC. It's a hold your nose special, but I would roll with Auburn +105 against Oklahoma. So that's what we got for college football. Now moving on to the NFL. The Texans are favored by 7 against the Jags. The total is 45 on Sunday. Look, now it looks like the line has moved down to 6.5, which means some money is coming in on the Jags. At 6.5, it's a pass for me. At 7, I would probably lean towards Jacksonville. I really like the Jags against the Bills on Monday night. Obviously, that didn't work out for me. We know how great these big underdogs have been doing this year in the NFL. It's a divisional game. And look, Houston really hasn't looked that great either. You know, they looked good against Indianapolis in week 1, but Indy hasn't looked very good since then. And then in week 2 against the Bears, their offense didn't do much. Week 3 against Minnesota, their offense did essentially nothing. So both of these teams are struggling right now. The AFC South as a whole is just extremely down right now as an entire division. I would take the 7 with the Jags if I had to. At 6.5, though, I'm going to pass on the game. Next up is a game I didn't think I would probably bet, but now that we've seen the results from week 3, how can you not love the Arizona Cardinals? Not only in the first half, but also minus the points against Washington. Right now, it's -3.5. I'm hoping this thing drops down to -3. There is so much Jaden Daniels love right now going on, and deservedly so. He was spectacular on Monday night against Cincinnati. If you guys know anything about me, though, I love to fade these storylines, right? When I turn on all the talk shows, when I turn on all the TV shows, I listen to all the radio shows, and everybody's talking Jaden Daniels, and he's going to be a future MVP in this league. He's going to win Offensive Player of the Year. Washington just had one of their biggest wins in years, right? Now it's a short week. They have to travel across the country, pretty much from Cincinnati to Phoenix. They got to go up against the Cardinals, who have had a very good start to the season as well. Didn't give up a single point to the Lions in the second half. Their defense has been very good in the last couple games. Kyler Murray's been excellent to start this season. As great as Jaden Daniels was against the Bengals, let's not overlook how bad the Bengals defense is and also how bad the Washington defense is. I think Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, they put up some points on Sunday. So I like Arizona in the first half, -2.5. I also like them full game as well. Patriots and 49ers, no real strong thoughts for me. Kyle Shanahan, normally not great historically as a big favorite. Niners are still dealing with a bunch of injuries. You got the Patriots on an extended week playing Thursday against the Jets at 10. I think the Pats would be the play for me in this game. Browns and Raiders, both teams really searching for a win. Browns opened up early on in the week as a favorite, -1. Now the Raiders have flipped to the favorite at -115. I like the Browns in this game for the simple fact that I think the best unit on the field, if you're taking the Browns defense, Raiders defense, Browns offense, or Raiders offense, Browns defense by far the best unit. I'm also getting the way better coach in Kevin Stefanski against Antonio Pierce. Both quarterbacks stink, right? Deshaun Watson, Gardner Minshew, no good. We don't want to bet Deshaun Watson as a favorite, but I don't mind taking him in a pick'em. I'll take the Browns -1. Give me the Chargers +8.5 against the Chiefs. This is a great spot to bet LA. This is just why we love the NFL, right? The Chargers are going to be without Herbert. They're two stud tackles in Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater. Derwin James is now suspended for this game. All their superstars are pretty much out. They got to go up against the defending champs. Taylor Heineke is going to start. Love backing these teams that are playing their backup quarterback in the first game. Also, we get in a divisional dog with all these points. Kansas City probably wins. These games with the Chargers and the Chiefs, though, are always close. Give me LA plus the points. Ravens and Bills, give me Baltimore in the first half on the money line, -135 against the Bills. Lamar Jackson, his last 20 regular season games, 15-5 ATS in the first half. This is what Baltimore does against really good teams. They get off to awesome starts, and then we all just watch them collapse in the fourth quarter like they nearly did against Dallas. So I don't want to bet the Ravens full game. I don't want to trust them for a full 60 minutes, but for the first 30, I like them to get off to a good start. We'll take the Ravens in the first half. Titans and Dolphins is a gross game this week. This week also, again, two not-so-great quarterbacks with Will Levis, Skylar Thompson potentially for Miami, maybe Snoop Huntley. I would lean towards the Titans -110, and then give me Seattle +3.5 against the Detroit Lions. Mike McDonald, maybe the best defensive mind in the NFL, if not one of the top two or three. You give him an extra day playing on Monday Night Football. The Ravens dominated Detroit last season, and Mike McDonald's game plan gave Jared Goff fits last year. Seattle's the real deal. Mike McDonald's the real deal. And again, Detroit was shut out in the second half against Arizona. Because they covered the spread and they won that game, I think a lot of people assume that Detroit is just back to looking like the Lions. I'll take the Seahawks +3.5. All right, a word here from our friends at BetMGM, promos that we got for you. We've all had our first touchdown bet vultured or called back before with BetMGM's Pro Football Second Chance. We're giving you a second chance on first touchdown bets this season. You can place any first touchdown score wager, and if your player doesn't score first but scores second, you get your entire stake back in cash, no opt-in required. The other day, we had Ja'Marr Chase, +700, first touchdown. So luckily for us, we were able to hit that. How does it work, though? You place a pregame, straight first touchdown wager bet in any NFL game. If your player scores the first touchdown in the game, you win your wager as normal. If your player scores the second touchdown in the game, you'll get your stake back in cash. Only straight bets apply to second chance. Any wager using a bonus bet or other reward token isn't eligible for the campaign. All right, let's talk some baseball before we get to Lucy Burge and model making money. So we got five games left in the MLB regular season. Thought it would be a good time to kind of look at some of the futures awards for, or futures markets for some of these teams in the American League and the National League. We'll start in the National League. There are really only two teams I have my eye on right now. I think the Phillies win the National League. I think they're a good bet at +200. The fact that we're still pricing the Dodgers ahead of the Phillies, I really don't understand it. We've seen these two teams. Obviously, Ohtani coming over with the Dodgers helps out that core that's been there. I still think it's going to be the same old Dodgers in the postseason. The Phillies really don't have many holes. They have great starting pitching, a great bullpen, a great lineup. They have experience. This is a roster that's been to a World Series, been to the NLCS. I like the Phillies. Don't sleep on the Padres, though, plus 475. Another team with great top-end pitching. They went out and really added depth to their bullpen at the trade deadline. And their lineup, man, I mean, with Tatis back now, it just feels like 1-9. There are no easy outs in that order. So San Diego, Philly are the two teams I would look at in the A and the NL. The American League, I think we could get some chaos. The Yankees right now are the clear favorites at plus 180. I just really don't understand that. The Yankees haven't made a World Series since 2009. The Astros are back to looking like the Astros, and they own the Yankees. The Astros would be the pick to me for plus 350 to win the American League. However, there are some teams right now in the AL that are playing some really good baseball, the Detroit Tigers being one of them, and nobody's going to want the Tigers because outside of Skubal, there's really no household names on their roster right now. They have a very good manager in A.J. Hinch, and they're just finding ways to win. Their pitching can take them a long way in October. Detroit would be a long shot that I would look at 12-1, and the Cleveland Guardians, a team with the best closer in baseball in Class A, good situational hitters. They don't strike out. That's the kind of team you want to back in the playoffs. So Cleveland, Detroit, I think are interesting bets. At the end of the day, though, I think Houston is going back to the World Series. I like Houston and Philadelphia. That's 11-1 exact matchup if you want to bet that. But I, again, take some flyers maybe with the Tigers or the Guardians along with the Astros. I think it ends up being the Phillies, though, in the World Series, and they would be my pick to win the World Series as well. All right, let's get to model making money. Check in with Lucy Burge joining us here on a Wednesday. Lucy, before we talk some baseball with you, what does the five-star model like for today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Five-star play for today from the BetQL model is Cubs-Phillies over 8 runs. The Cubs and Phillies hit this over yesterday when the Cubs won 10-4, and the Phillies have gone over this in 4 of their last 6 games, while the Cubs did just go over this on their own yesterday with their 10 runs. So the BetQL model loves the over as a five-star play today.
Very good. Lucy, what about yourself? What are some of your favorite bets for today?
Yes, I have a few, PJ, including a Lucy Long Ball play for today. But first, Jarren Duran, over 1.5 total bases. Red Sox, I'll have you know, have a 0.8% chance to make the playoffs. So hope is not lost. All is not lost. And I think Jarren Duran can help with keeping those hopes alive with going over 1.5 total bases. He's got over this in 2 of his last 3 games and in 3 of his last 5. And against Kevin Gausman, he is batting .375 with a home run, 2 doubles, and a single. And Kevin Gausman has allowed 15 hits over his last 3 starts. So I like that for him. And then Jose Ramirez, over 1.5 total bases as well. He has 9 hits in his last 7 games, and he has hit this in 3 of his last 4 games and has 6 total bases in each of those 2 games. And he also has 2 home runs in his last 4 games. So I like that for him. And then Juan Soto to get a hit and Matt Olson to hit a home run. But Juan Soto to get a hit, he has 4 hits in his last 4 games, including one yesterday. And against Zach Eflin, he is batting .500 with 17 hits, including 2 home runs, 4 doubles, and 11 singles. So that for Juan Soto, and then also Matt Olson home run.
All right, very good. A lot of good stuff there, Lucy. I'm also on Soto today as well. I was just talking about the Detroit Tigers as a team that I could see as a potential sleeper, as a wild card team. Any wild card teams that you think could be sleeper teams in October?
Yeah, I do like the Tigers, but I also like the Mets because I think the Mets can get to the World Series and win the World Series. So I think they'll make it to the playoffs, then they'll go on a run to the World Series. They can move past the Luis Severino implosion last night. They can go 4-1 the rest of the season, then make a run in the playoffs through the power of Grimace. Through the power of Grimace, all things are possible. They do have the purple seat, so they are all in on this, and it works. It has been working for the Mets, so I think they can make a serious run in the playoffs.
Huge, huge game tonight against the Braves going up against Chris Sale. Lucy, before I let you go, we got Thursday night football tomorrow between the Cowboys and the Giants. Any plays that you like?
Yeah, I didn't think I would take the Giants at all this season, but I like the Giants plus 5.5. The Cowboys destroyed the Giants last season, but in the past few games, Cowboys defense has been awful. The Giants are coming off a win over the Browns. Underdogs have been hitting, PJ. I am scared to take a favorite because every time I do, I feel very silly. So I am going to go with the Giants plus 5.5 here. I think they can keep it at least close, perhaps, against the Cowboys because they keep betting on the Cowboys, thinking, oh, this will be their bounce back spot. This certainly has to be their bounce back spot, and then it's not. So Giants plus 5.5.
All right, very good. Make sure you guys stick around. Bet slips and bat flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time with Lucy and Jake. Lucy, always great seeing you. Have a great show coming up, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to get into PJ's plays here. As we wrap up the show, females, I see your question here about Army against Temple. That line is dropping to 11.5. I do not agree with the line movement. I would lay it with Army. A team like that that runs the wishbone on a short week. Temple's off a huge win against Utah State. I think it's a great spot for Army. So I would lay the 11.5 with them. As for going streaking, Lucy talked about it. Juan Soto is 17 for 34 against Zach Eflin in his career. That is absurd. Batting 500 against him in 34 plate appearances. Love Soto today. I think he's going to have a big day. He's my play in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Daniel Jones to throw an interception tomorrow night at minus 120. Dallas, I think their defense finally comes up with some turnovers. Obviously, they haven't been able to stop anybody the last couple weeks. Danny Dimes in his career, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions against Dallas. My dog of the day is going to be the Padres, plus 120 against the Dodgers. Folks, the Dodgers only have a 2-game lead with 5 games to play in that NL West division. Dylan Cease versus Jack Flaherty tonight. I think the Padres win that game, and we have ourselves a big-time game tomorrow night. And then my best bet's going to be the Yankees, minus 145 against the Orioles. We took the Cubs yesterday, fading the Phillies after they celebrated their NL East title. Well, the Orioles celebrated making the playoffs yesterday. I think the Yankees take advantage. I'll take the Yanks at minus 145. Thanks again to Johnny Cogdon, Lucy Burge for joining the show. I'm off tomorrow. Nick Ashew is in. I will see you guys on Friday. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.